Right now, hopefully, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. I know we have Cynthia on the line. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And Janet is there.
Good morning.
Uh-huh.
Good morning, Janet. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
We're doing fine here. You know, we've got some cloudy skies, and we won't have rain tomorrow, and then we won't have rain through the work weekend. So
amazing.
Yeah. It'll be nice.
Yeah.
It'll be nice. And the heavy rains that we might have gotten last night actually.
You called to warn me about wet east. Yay.
They went to the north of us and to the south of us. They didn't come here. So.
What about that tornado or something in Coventry?
Well, it reformed after us,
yeah.
So we were lucky.
I was not unhappy about that. Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for them, of course.
All right, we will go to
really
the.
It was beautiful yesterday, though, as it was in the evening after the winds died down.
Yeah.
It was just breezy and perfect.
It well, we can appreciate those days because remember where we're heading. Okay,
yeah, right.
So now let's go to the front page of the journal and. At the top of the front page are two important stories. One, of course, our good friends in North Canaan have put together since day one their observance of Patriot Day, where there's no hype, you've got a whole 24-hour period where you can go and you can remember what happened on September 11th. But right next to that is a great place to have a local story on Afghanistan, a monuments woman whose mission is to save the arts and culture. Those two stories go side by side because they are linked side by side. The reason we were in Afghanistan was because of 9/11.
And also the story beneath it about the Salisbury Forum speaker,
yeah.
And we keep referring to this issue as our special, we must not forget issue, because we have also two very important stories on Alzheimer's disease research, and then, of course, the Goshen Fair, which is all about remembering tradition and our rural roots, and then, of course, Lime Rock Park Historic, which has so many beautiful old cards. But so Patriot Day, and as we, as most people know, the devastating fire at the depot in North Canaan happened just days after the terror attacks on New York City and Washington and Pennsylvania. And it's very personal to everybody in America, but, of course, North Canaan at St. Joseph's Church really brings it home. There's also going to be a ceremony, I think, in Kent in the morning, I think at 8:30, and I believe there's going to be one in Norfolk at some point. So this is all on Saturday this year.
And there is a car caravan that's going from, I think, Lenox down through Great Barrington to Sheffield on Saturday as well, that they want people to come out and watch as it goes by.
Right, and then the flip of that is that cars drive by St. Joseph Church, and if you're there during the day, everybody's honking and waving. And it's quite moving, and often there is the canons from, I think, the Litchfield County, one of the Litchfield County organizations, and then town of Litchfield organizations, and then there's a drum corps that comes in. It's a beautiful morning and definitely worth going. There's a giant flag that's held up by a fire truck that's got one of those big tower arms holding it. So definitely worth going. And then the reading of the names that have been lost, which, of course, sadly increases every year as more and more people die, especially the rescue workers who went in and were so endangered by what they breathed in. So very much a ceremony that we all want to support and turn out for. And then the Monuments Woman, this is a really interesting story. And, of course, the Monuments Men, we remember, were the American government officials who, during World War II, worked so hard to save cultural treasures that were being sort of collected up by Hitler's regime. And not a lot of women in that organization, but, of course, a lot of women who did help preserve, at the threat of their own lives, those works of art. And so Christian Brun, who is a documentary filmmaker and has a film that's in the Berkshire International Film Festival, who I'd interviewed about that, as I was researching him, I realized that he had just done this podcast that's ongoing. It's fascinating, with a woman named Laura Tedesco, who works for the U.S. government, working to save Afghan cultural treasures, talked about what happened the last time the Taliban went in. And even though she's safely back in America, her work to try and continue to save artwork and treasure in the history and culture of Afghanistan. And then down in the bottom right of the page, we have Eric Edstrom, who's coming to speak at the Salisbury Forum on September 17th. And he's talking a lot about his disillusionment with war and the military after a career in the military. But, of course, he had been in Afghanistan. He had an interpreter who he's working hard to get out. I actually don't have the update on whether he succeeded and whether his interpreter was able to be part of that large group of people that came out. And then we have an adorable photo of Corianne Wiggins, who is the daughter of Corey Wiggins, who's a well-known local painter, firefighter. She is a student at Housatonic Valley Regional High School in the FFA program. And, of course, Labor Day weekend, so great. One of the highlights of it is the Goshen Fair, and the FFA students from many of the local schools come together in the beautiful FFA barn and have not only the petting zoo, where Corey Ann was a volunteer, but also there's another student on the back, Haley Leonard, page A6, who is explaining the very important part of the FFA program, which is floriculture.
Interesting story that you have down below there, and we'll get over to the Salisbury Farm story in just a second, but the Gear community put on a lecture about Alzheimer's disease and the advances that have actually been going on.
And I'm not sure if there's some particular reason why there's been a lot of Alzheimer's activity this month, but of course the Walk to End Alzheimer's at Lime Rock Park is coming up September 19th, and we had the talk by Scott Small that was organized by Noble Horizons, which apparently a lot of people said it was very hard to hear what he was saying. Somebody had their mute button off, and there was a lot of background noise. But we have a review of his book, which we'll talk about when we get to Compass. But Lila Hawken has a nice story where Kristen Cazzotto, who is the Connecticut Director of Communications for the Alzheimer's Association, came in and talked about progress and discoveries. And I think one thing that both Scott Small and Kristen talk about is just basic, really good health care, the things that we know are good for our bodies, help us to not maybe eliminate Alzheimer's disease from our lives, but to help limit the damage that it does. So things like a good diet, lots of exercise, and, of course, socializing, too. So a really interesting article from Lila.
And now we'll slip over to the other article about the Salisbury Forum, the speaker that, once again, working to rescue the interpreter from Afghanistan.
Right, his interpreter, Rock, and, of course, Salisbury Forum continuing to have really relevant talks by interesting people. Eric Adstrom was booked months and months ago, long before that we knew that this was all going to happen in Afghanistan and the struggle to get people out. So presumably he will update us at the September 17th talk on whether he was able to get his translator out safely.
As we go into the paper, a real nice story on Mary O'Reilly and the job she's taken over to help people get the necessities in Sharon.
And, of course, so many people, wonderful people coming into our community in the past year or so with COVID and really bringing some new life to the community. But Mary and Philip O'Reilly first came to Sharon many years ago when Patricia Chamberlain, who was a life-saving principal for me and my family at Sharon Center School, when Patricia went on to Region 1 to be the assistant superintendent and the superintendent. Philip O'Reilly came in and was the principal at Sharon Center School, and he also went on to a superintendent position. But his wife, Mary O'Reilly, has remained in the community. The family, of course, is still here. She's been a Spanish teacher at the high school and now is stepping in to do the very important work that Ella Clark was doing as a social services agent in Sharon. And boy, at this time of COVID-19, do we really need this kind of support for everybody, even those who maybe in normal times were doing okay? Everybody needs a little help. We're so grateful to our towns for providing it.
Another story that's interesting, and I haven't spoken to Joe Quatre since he opened up his actual car business where he makes cars look beautiful again. But he is the new owner of the Canaan Country Club, and he comes out of the box with a very strong statement on COVID.
He is an interesting guy, yeah, and runs Wheels of Time in Pine Plains, which is a very respected, yep, restoration place for historic cars. And, of course, as discussed, historic cars are a big thing here in the northwest corner, as they are in much of the world. But very interesting, coming from Pine Plains over and purchased the Canaan Country Club, the golf course, as well as the little restaurant there. And even though North Canaan, I would say, is a town that strongly feels its independence and goes its own way, he really feels strongly that everybody needs to be vaccinated and put a little muscle behind that requirement that everybody come in with a vax card, and said, if you're not vaxxed yet, we have a deal with Walgreens. Go over to Walgreens, and you'll get, for a limited time, a gift certificate either to use the golf course or to come in and have dinner here, which is, a nice way to introduce people to the restaurant who haven't been there also. I think it's called the Belted Angus Tavern. But a very interesting move in a town that maybe would give some pushback. He said so far the response has been pretty good. But we're seeing, I was just going through, our email this morning, and there's a lot of organizations that are making changes based on the potential threat of COVID-19 as we move back indoors. A lot of requirements that people have either a vax card or proof of having been tested. So we'll see. I think that there is some pushback coming. We got an email from somebody saying that they're planning the Gilmore Girls Festival in Kent in October, as they've been doing for many, many years, based on that popular TV show. And these people were incensed that they had to have proof of vaccination to participate and asked for our help in pushing back on that. And we felt, you know, as a newspaper and as a company, we strongly support vaccination. Janet had an editorial on it a few weeks ago. We picked up that nice piece of news from the Boston Globe a couple weeks ago.
And, of course, in North Canaan, they've got this Saturday, once they're going to town hall, if you're a Northwest Corner resident, they've got all the vaccines that are going to be there. You can get your first one. You can get your second shot. You can get the J&J shot. And if you can prove that you've got some limitations there, you can even get your what they call the booster shot of the Pfizer vaccine. So in Canaan, they realize, and this, I think, is their third vaccination clinic that they're doing for people in North Canaan, and that's this Saturday. So
it's very smooth. My daughter got her shots there, and they're super organized and do a great job.
All right, and we can talk about a little bit about the historic festival, because the parade happened and the party in Falls Village, and it went off fine, and that kicked off a big weekend in our area.
That's right. It was rainy only on the one day when it's okay to rain, which is on the Sunday, the parade day. So that day was a little bit muted. Normally you have the car owners standing next to their cars, proudly showing them off and having conversation, but it was rainy that day. Still a lot of people turned out, but the days of racing and driving were dry and safe, and we hope that the impact on the neighbors was not too onerous, but very popular parade that starts the whole weekend off every year through Salisbury and Falls Village. They always go to Noble Horizons, which you think is wonderful, and then there's a huge party in Falls Village, which is becoming the town of historic car activities. But then the Cornwall Town Hall Players, we have a nice big story that Lila Hawken did talking to Fred Thaler about A Doll's House, the production that's coming up. Somebody just tested positive in the cast, and we were notified last night that rehearsals and the performance have been delayed indefinitely. Not meaning that they won't do it, but they just don't know when everybody's going to be testing clean again. So we will update everybody when we know.
Yeah, it's and you know what's interesting? The Region 1, once again, is this year being very transparent. When there are cases that pop up, they notify everybody. And I think that's a smart move, because it just keeps everybody in the loop, and it shows that the school system is dealing with what they have to deal with. And knock on wood, we'll get through this as we head into the darker winter months.
Yeah, we support that too. As a newspaper, we always feel like keeping secrets is never good for anybody. People always make their own assumptions. They're always wrong. Just be honest, and everybody's happier.
Somebody actually wrote me and said, "Why does the school do this? It's a closed community." And I said, "It's not a closed community. It's a regional school district. They notify the parents, the students, and then other people in the community should know that if somebody in their if there's a outbreak in their community." So I think the school, on three different points, is doing a great job. By the way, they're handling this. They really have done a great. And may I say, the students have also done a great job, because they're not any problem at all from any of the schools that I've spoken to. So. Let's go to the opinion page here before we head to Compass. The editorial, "Affordable Housing Already Thrives, Why Not Build More," is the editorial.
That's right. You know, we have our controversies going on right now in a couple of our towns, Salisbury and Falls Village, on issues surrounding whether or not to build more affordable housing and, of course, where to build it, always one of the bigger issues. We're just making the point that already the affordable housing that is built in our towns is full and has waiting lists. And so the idea that, you know, we can wait on this and we don't really need to do it right now is incorrect. And one of the things we have to be aware of is that people who work in this area, not just have second homes or, you know, retire here, but people who need to work in this area need to have places to live. And if you look even just at our classified section each week for the past weeks and this week too, you see loads of jobs that the private schools, medical communities, nursing homes, et cetera, are searching for really critical staff. And, COVID-19 hasn't helped in bringing people in from further away to come in and work in this area we need to have more housing. So we make those points in this editorial again.
All right. And on the editorial page, of course, there's a letter to the editor by Liz Peel about a family's escape from Afghanistan, but also an interesting column by Lonnie Carter.
Right. Lonnie Carter, of course, writes for us periodically, and you never know what he's going to write about. A man of many interests and talents. And so this week it's Saigon Falls again, and he's comparing, as many of us who remember Saigon falling do, comparing it to Kabul and what's happened in Afghanistan. So he goes through that and gives us an interesting take on it.
And Peter Steiner's cartoon will get a reaction this year. Once again, he has a very quick wit and a way to bring things to a point very quickly with his cartoon editorials.
That's right, with his visuals, and I think this is one of his best.
Absolutely. All right, and a great story, a column there, and I keep trying to pound this into people that live now, when vaccines were celebrated and disease eliminated.
That's right. That's from Dick Ollis, who is so good at following history for us on different topics, but this time on vaccines, and really looks through the history of them. And, you know, any of us who think about what came before and don't want our kids or grandkids to get polio or, you know, measles, even smallpox, believe in vaccination, and he takes us through a long history of it, and it's fascinating to see what surrounded the polio vaccine and what the outcome was of that.
A couple of other articles, Peter Riva, his view from the Edge, Small World, Deeply Worrying Events.
Right, and of course Peter is in the Millerton News every week, and we try to use his column periodically, and he is a world traveler, has been for his entire life, and makes the point that as he's gotten older, he knows more people, has more connections, and suddenly he has five friends and colleagues who have been struggling in Afghanistan to get people and trusted people and families out of the country. And he talks about that, and it's moving and gives us a different side of it.
And I love this column because I had this revelation a couple of years ago. My most recent revelation, I am finally, undeniably a grown-up.
That's right. This is from Farzan Frangian. And don't ask how old he is, okay? Because, yeah, we've all been there where suddenly it's, there's no turning back. And this it makes it clear I am a grown-up. And he goes through what made him realize it, and it's really well done. And anyone who wants to share their experience on this, by all means, write a letter.
All right. Now we will go to Compass, and what's interesting on the Compass page is the two big ads, one of the Millerton Food Festival, which is coming up September 18th, and then in Norfolk, the Haystack Book Festival, that once again showing that there's still things that are going on in our area and movies. And the interesting 9/11 story, Cynthia, about the artist whose studio was in the North Tower.
Yes, and I'll just sort of note that some of the Norfolk Haystack Book Festival is going to be live streamed, but they have David Sibley, who is like the god of bird watchers, so that's going to be super fascinating. We'll try to get a little more background on that. Don Bracken, who's a very interesting artist, does a lot of work where he takes soil from an area and incorporates it into his pigments as he paints. And so we had been going back and forth by email and discussing this art show that he's curated at Five Points Gallery in Torrington of artists whose work reflects the terror attacks on September 11th. And I have to say that he sent me some changes after we had gone to press, so I hope that he will forgive if there's anything wrong in here. But you can see at the bottom of this very interesting sort of modeled image that's New York City at the bottom. And this is a super, they must have had some empty space in the World Trade Center, and so he got a 10,000-square-foot studio space on the 91st floor of the North Tower, and was working there up until the terror attacks, and fortunately was not in the building, but, you know, just the devastation that we all feel, but to have your artwork and your, you know, creative life just completely destroyed in such a horrible way. So obviously still haunting him, put together this interesting show of people who were also in part of this project where artists were working in the World Trade Center. The show is on display till September 25th. And then, so Deb Alexinus had listened in on the Scott Small Zoom talk at Noble Horizons on Alzheimer's. He's one of the leading researchers on Alzheimer's disease in the world, and very interesting. And curiously, he has a new book, and it's all about the importance of forgetting and how your brain actually needs to forget some things. So very interesting from a person whose life is really dedicated to studying how we can hold our memories, also saying, like, be a little more forgiving on yourself. There are certain things that you need to forget. And then Tom Zatterstrom, who is just the loveliest person and does so much for the community so selflessly. And if you live up here long enough, you know Tom, because he's just everywhere doing all this incredible work, trying to, with Christian Allen, to eradicate some of the invasives that are destroying not only the trees in our landscape, but just the landscape itself visually. I have to say, in my opinion, it just looks better the last few years. There's just a lot of stuff that had been killing trees and just building up on the sides of the road, and slowly they're working to take some of that away. But Tom just does the most beautiful photographs of trees. He really feels their souls, and when you see his photos, they don't look like trees or part of a landscape or an item, you know, that's on a horizon. They really feel like these living things. It's very druidic. So he has a show coming up with the Berkshire Botanical Garden, and as part of that show, he'll not only do lectures on art and photography and trees, but also, of course, because he's Tom, on protecting trees from disease and from predators, including bugs and invasives. So a lot going on in that show coming up, and information here in Compass.
All right, and just to wrap up, you've got the ads there. The movie house is going full forward, and on Friday night, the Sharon Playhouse has their patio stage with a show, and then they've got the Ravens coming up on Saturday. So Friday and Saturday, two different events. Trying to keep it normal through the end of the summertime. All right, guys. So once again, you can find all this and more, tricornernews.com, on the web, and also in the newspaper, where you can get it at various locations throughout the area, and also get it at home delivery, tricornernews.com. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, you can hear the show on our on-demand page, which is robinhoodradio.com. Click on on-demand, click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and you can get the whole show there. Or, of course, you can go to tricornernews.com, go to the paper, and buy the paper. Yeah, it's pretty simple. But tricornernews.com.